This meeting in order. If you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may stand for the invocation, please. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this council and help us to make the best decisions we can for the people of Lewistown. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Do we need that this band on? Anybody hot?
I'm good.
You good? Okay.
They hot? All right, clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
All persons, Sally Clark.
Aye.
Jim Long.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Paschal.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Here.
There you go. Way to go, John.
Mayor Lee Perry?
Here. All right, having a quorum, we'll move on. Everyone's looked at the minutes from the last meeting. If you have any questions, corrections, or additions to the minutes. If not, if I have a motion to accept the minutes, please.
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Clerk's report. Cindy, what do you have for us?
I don't have anything right now. Later on, Amanda Smith had sent me a couple things when it's then, I'll say it.
You tell them the auditor was here?
Yeah, the auditor was here. Everything looked good so far. I mean, I didn't hear nothing about it, and they were in and out before 3 o'clock. So everything was in order, and
that's what we like to hear.
That looked good. Yeah.
Very good. All right, thank you. Treasurer's report, Ms. Brown, do you have anything?
Not tonight.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Attorney's report, Mr. Collins is absent. Engineer's report, Ms. Keith, not here. Public comments and commit petitions, anyone that'd like to address this council? No? Bill, you guys
good?
Are good?
Everything's good.
You good? Okay, hey, we're glad to see you.
You guys think it's looking a little bit better.
Yeah, we're trying. You know what they say about government. It moves slow. We're not any different.
I do have one. You're smiling. That's a good thing.
I do have one comment.
All right, Kendall?
Yeah. I've been trying to hold back, but I don't know how many people are aware of it in this community or in this room, but yesterday I came uptown here to get a roll of black electrical tape. And at the local business, well, Pratt's, and sign on door says, we're closing. And I'm like, really? Closing permanently. And so I didn't know if anybody was aware of it or not, but.
No, I am not.
So, yep. And after we give $77,000 to, for a TIF, and then turn around and get slapped with that, but anyway.
So we don't get any of that back?
Well, yeah, we get it back. We get our money back, yeah. Believe me.
With the, you know.
We will, if it's set up that way, we will get our TIF money.
Yeah.
But it's just a fact that, you know, you need to go over and read the sign. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And see if it doesn't upset you. So.
Okay.
That's all. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Kendall. Appreciate it. Moving on. Committee reports. Finance, insurance, and zoning. Alderman Clark. Sally, do you have
anything? Nothing to report this time.
Thank you. Sewer, John?
Nothing.
Thank you. Streets and alleys, Mr. Miller?
I have nothing on streets and alleys.
All right. How about police or ASDA? Brad?
We haven't got any more applications for police officers.
No.
No.
Of the two, one took a job someplace else.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we have one?
So now we have one.
And the chief's going to be leaving here real shortly. So
he told me yesterday, July 15th, was his last day.
We have another applicant, I guess he told me. So that only wanted part-time, but he's exploring full-time options. I think the big thing is moving.
Do we have any part-time left? Part-time workers or not anymore?
We have a couple.
Okay. Okay, I know it used to be his Lex Danny remotely for part-time.
And the thing is they work other jobs, so...
Yeah,
they don't really want to work very often.
And just scheduling a nightmare for part-time.
I mean, unless anybody else has any ideas, my plan is when, if we don't have anyone, I will call the sheriff and say, we have no police department. We need help. Please handle the calls. I'm not asking for patrol. I'm not advocating we pay a fee to have patrol.
No.
I'm just telling you, that's my plan. If somebody else has got anything better, I don't know.
That's all you can do.
But when, you know, when you have a system where Brad, 30-year cop, me, 30-year cop, can't go back and do the job because they've twisted the rules so much and changed them, something's wrong with that system, folks. Told us, you know, we basically can't do it, can we, Brad? Without going to all kinds of school and classes.
We'd have to go back to class. We're definitely not, I mean, the certifications that we would
for a little town, less town.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter, you know, it's the same training, whether you're Chicago police or...
And we pay them $16,000 already to dispatch our calls.
Dispatch, yes. I mean, yes, we pay that for that service, yes. But anyway, that's my plan. If anybody has anything better, you know my number.
Nope. Yeah, remember that at the end of the month.
So?
June 28th. On a Tuesday, you remember this.
All right, moving on. Water, Mr. Miller.
One thing, the hydrants, I was just informed by the mayor that we've been having them painted here the last year or so and that, but the young man that was doing it is going into the military, but we're going to find somebody else evidently to take care of the hydrants.
It's remember we contracted that out.
Yeah.
And yes.
So they're going to be taken care of and be finished. So that's not let go. So another thing that came up here a while back was we had some problems during the winter of 2021 and during the winter actually that we had some hydrants that had frozen
meters
and we found out that we determined that the fact was if it was frozen not due to the ownership that whoever owned a meter and that it was.
You said hydrants. I meant to say meters.
I'm sorry,
I just
meant meters.
Wanted to correct you so everyone knew it.
Some of the new meters had frozen, and we're going to take care of the cost to replace them meters that were actually frozen due to nothing that the owner did itself. But on the meantime, we're looking into the fact that. Might be a possibility that they were faulty meters or it may be a problem with these meters that were put in. We don't know yet for sure. So, but since we've already paid this company and no longer owe them, then it's a little tough.
I mean, the meters that have froze, I mean, there was apparently a policy from the last administration that says the city will pay for the first meter. The customer will pay for every meter thereafter. I don't like the fact that you're charging somebody for a thing that helps you charge somebody for something else. But anyway, these new meters have frozen. They've broken. These are the ones that have paid for new meters. I'm thinking maybe we owe these people their money back. I mean, I want to know what everyone else thinks. I'm not saying write them a check, but give them a credit on their water bill.
Yeah.
I mean, what's everybody think? I don't know, but I mean.
Think we need to be fair?
Yeah, and that's when I was presented with it.
Because I mean, they didn't buy these meters; we did. And if they're not up to snuff, you know, everyone's going to have to bear the brunt of it. I mean,
and I take it these meters are in the same place that the old meters were.
Evan. Yeah. Evan, you know, tell us about these meters. You know more than any of us.
Yeah, a lot of them need to replace exactly where they were. So they're in the exact same location. The old meters that I can tell so far, there's a brass shell that had, you know, screens and plastic parts in it, but it had like a cast plating on it. And I always called it a frost plate, so if something would freeze, it would blow up the base plate of the meter. And then, you know, when we take old meters in, when we replace a dead one, that's the part that we kept on hand. So you just go take 4 volts off and replace the base. You're on your way. You know, you're still using the same meter. These new ones, where the sensors go on the top, there's actually two little O-rings, and then things just sit there, you know. They're just lightly pressed in. And I tore one apart and I called the company a year ago whenever, you know, I ran into the first one leaking. And they said that, I asked if they had an overheat kit to replace these. And they said that they need calibrated. So pretty much they're a junk meter. As soon as it does that, but they freeze a lot easier. But when they do, they're a junk meter. The whole thing's, you know, thrown away. Or the old ones, you can salvage it by just, like I said, replacing the base plate and moving on.
Well,
so basically, anything goes wrong with these meters, they're really not replaceable except for the whole meter.
Correct. So, since they're all calibrated to read accuracy.
Or the old meters, we could at least replace parts. Or, I mean, they have been good for us on the point that we knew probably we can, or we're aware of some problems before it actually becomes a problem, or we're notified, red flagged on at least, and hopefully they're giving us better readings on where water is going to. But
yes, it's benefited a lot of people where they've had a spool hung out or a slow service line leak in their yard, you know, that's after the meter. That's helped a lot of people in that aspect and having high water bills. Problem though is finding where the leak might be for them, you know, so dying toilets or helping them find something in their yard that might be leaking a half a gallon in it or something.
But it is my opinion, I did feel that we should have held them accountable for something that they didn't do. And it was actually, if anything, if there's any way we can go back on the company and say, hey, you have faulty meters and you owe us.
Have you talked to the company, Evan? Or?
Yeah, I have. I actually tried sending one back to be tested one because they said these meters have been put through the harshest conditions, you know. So I tested one out where I wanted to test and see if the screens would fog up on, you know, because they said the design of them is to always keep it clean. And so I ran it for a year in that spot, you know, and then I had the iron built up on it just to see it, and they didn't want that. They just gave me a new meter.
So that's
it. Not that meter, but
that's just the company telling you they're throwaway meters. I mean, they're telling you that right there.
So there's no warranty on them?
I don't
know. It might have been new. I don't know.
If you prove that it's theirs, but a lot of times trying to prove that it's their problem, that's, you know, I think it's been more money shipped back and forth.
Yes.
The other problem with these meters, obviously, are they're made in Germany. So get the meter in. It isn't like I can just order it and have it here in a month or two. You know, our orders usually take, you know, 4 to 6 months. And I'm currently still waiting on a 1-inch meter that we have a fault that's just saying error. So that would be their issue. And I don't know, that was a while ago, and I've yet to receive the new one. I check in every once in a while to see. And they said, you just have to wait until it shows up. And I'll put the old one in the box and ship it back.
I guess that's about everything right now.
Why did we replace the old meters? That was before I called.
That was before I came up to.
What was the problem with them?
They were just replaced because of this, to update the system, and so we know. I mean, it is a good system. I mean, as far as keeping track of water and everything else.
So much water. Okay.
And it's something our Locust program wouldn't support it anymore either, the old ones.
How much are these meters, Evan?
I don't know what the updated price is. I haven't ordered any. I'm thinking they were around like $136, and they kept us locked in that contract for a couple of years. And then like a 3/4 might be maybe $150, $160 now. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten an updated price, so I don't have the updated, because prices go up. Seems every.
That's quite a bit of money right there on that paper.
Yeah.
The ones that bought meters are supposed to give them. Find out what the meter costs.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether we have to. Do we have to put that on the agenda?
Yeah, to vote on it. It'll have to be on the agenda.
Or is that something that. Is that just the executive decision? I don't know. You guys tell me.
Going out, probably
got to
vote on it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So is that what we wanna do, put it on the agenda for next meeting?
Go to next time.
Alright. Alright.
They shouldn't be responsible for that.
Nope, I agree.
Give them a credit on the water bill.
That's what I agree, we'll talk about it next meeting, we'll, everybody think about what action you think is best, and I'm sure we can come up to some agreement.
And maybe we better touch base with the meter company.
That's all I have under one.
Having just said they're in Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, the company is in Germany.
Yep.
Yeah, good luck.
We get a little.
Good luck, I mean, we're not gonna get anything out of them, you're stuck with them, if you wanna, we're just gonna watch this and come to the conclusion, are they worth it? And that's when everyone's gonna have to come through in their own mind, and.
We've tried calling all of them many times, them and the Aclara, which is the, supports the.
MTUs.
Yeah, and nobody wants to help us.
You know, if we have to keep buying those meters, I mean, I don't care, I mean, telling people they've got a water leak, you're gonna have to have a heck of a lot of chemicals and electricity, I mean, if we don't pay for the water, let's face it, it comes out of the ground, it's electricity and chemicals, so everybody's, we're gonna have to figure it out. So, okay, moving on. Utilities, publications, public buildings and grounds, Alderman Jim Long.
Nothing new at this time, just keeping having pretty busy.
Alright, tourism, Ms. Kim.
Well, I don't have anything to report except the music in the park's going really well.
Alright.
Yes, it is.
I missed last week, I was gone, but.
I did too.
Really busy, had a good crowd.
Was it a good crowd?
Ran out of food and.
Sold over $500 of food.
Yeah.
And the week before was excellent for Jane.
Yeah, we had like $540 in food sales.
Yep.
Talk about tourism, it's not for us, but I don't know if you guys ever been there, but there's an ice cream shop in Cuba right on the square. It's, they have done amazing job up there, I encourage everyone to go visit it, it's cool. The inside is neat, and you can sit out on the sidewalk, it's very cool if you guys want a little trip for the evening. You know, it costs you $20 in gas, but.
Well worth it, though.
Well worth it, right. Okay, moving on, Tiff, John, do you have anything? Thank you. Amanda is not here.
She's not here, but she sent me, paper said the funding for the water project from Boostros, that money would probably be available this fall. And then she's working with Bruce Ryrock to secure some funding for Muriel downtown, for the Muriels, whatever. I don't know anything about that, so. And then there's a housing development grant, which I think Josh is going to talk about maybe, so. That's their little update for tonight.
Bruce had posted that he's talked to the people down the Muriels in Peoria, that somebody there might be willing to help over here with this.
Really?
He did post that, I think, today.
I know, he wants ideas on what kind of murals we have to paint.
That's cool, no, that's very cool.
And those, if you come in on Adams, they're kind of colorful.
Maybe that's what we can do, some of these old houses, paint them.
You know, I mean, you find some pretty good artists right over here in the jail. Seriously, I've seen a lot of good stuff those guys do.
And we had some great ones in our school.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right, moving on. Christmas committee, Mr. Kenny Hickey and his wife, Jeannie.
We don't have that, we're kind of. Slowing down for the summer for a little bit.
All right.
Give everybody a break for Christmas.
All right. Very good. Thank you for all you guys do. Public Works, Evan, do you have anything for him?
This month, or last month, I guess, the month of May, water loss is up just a little bit. We're at 23.8%, but we've had some significant service line leaks that. Some have been taken care of, some have not. And currently, I think there's three or four service lines leaking. I think one was caused through hammering. You guys have come up and cleaned up yards. I left messages and yet to get, you know, called back on that one. So might be something where I just take pictures, fix it so it stops leaking. And, then deal with them, see if they'll pay for it, what they're going to do, since it's right at the curb stop, they tilled up there. At had some sinkholes. We got a couple of those fixed. We got a few more. I'm having one dug up on South Bend here on Thursday. It's 17 foot down, so I'll have to call that one in. But we're working to help with it, so we'll do the hauling and stuff to save on cost. Give them one of our guys so they can dig with their equipment. Started on the old chip program. They're moving along pretty good on that, so hopefully we'll have that looked up here soon. And our loader tractor is still getting worked on. Getting head gasket replaced on that, so we get the tractor back. And we start grading alleys and working on some ditches. And then all the other ditches that we have, I am waiting for township to catch up on their stuff, and they're going to come in and cut some of our ditches that need some work done to it, especially Catholic Cemetery, which we're still waiting on that, I believe, to get passed through so I can get IRC down so they can get that road taken care of for us, hopefully sooner than later. Other than that, we're just chipping away. Now we got some decent weather, no rain.
Yeah, it'll dry them ditches up so you can cut them easier.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody have any questions for Evan? I think you guys are doing a good job. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, moving on. We don't have any unfinished business. We have in new business. Talk about our Western Illinois Regional Council membership. Cindy, do you have
information? Well, Josh is here, so he's going to... I don't think he met everybody, so I invited him to the meeting.
It's been a while since I've been here. These are some brochures. We're actually designing a new one of food locations, so... but that still, the services are basically the same. I know I was approached, Amanda called me about putting together a housing grant application for you guys this year, which I think the maximum amount, DCO has not released the guidebooks yet, but I think they raised it to 600,000. It's either 550 or 600,000 this year that we can ask for. We will have to do some surveying, and we'll have to kind of target that towards a specific neighborhood, just to save the costs. So. If that's something you guys are interested in, which I assume from talking to Amanda that you are, we'll have to send over a technical services agreement if my coworker Jerry has not done that yet, and then we can get started. We're hoping sometime in July, I think, is when they're going to do the grant writers workshop, and then we'll know all the details by then. And then they're saying they're going to be due by October 19th, but we had a webinar today, and... sounds like they're maybe wavering on that date and might push it back a little bit further. So we might have a little more time to get everything in. As far as you guys' dues, what that goes towards is our grant writing. So we have to, look, we charge you guys a pretty small amount to write the grant. Right now it's $1,500 plus mailing expenses. If we have to go do door-to-door surveying, we have to come draw out a map and some things like that for the application. The good thing with the housing grants is they don't cost you anything other than the application fee, whereas if it was a public infrastructure application and it was funded, you'd have to pay the design engineering and then the, what they call the observation engineering or whatever, where you have someone on site making sure they're doing the project correctly. I know the last couple we did here were for your guys' well fields out here. We got a disaster recovery grant. We got a grant from... out of the original pool of funds that did some work out there, and then we ended up getting another $600,000 they released for disaster recovery to do some more work out there. And I've been in contact with Keith Plavik, and I worked together quite a bit, and we've talked about some of the different issues you guys have going on here and the grants that we could apply for them, but it sounds like you guys are getting some money to go towards some of that right now. I know one time we talked about you guys had a storage tank out here at the fairgrounds that needed some work, and I think some lines that needed replaced over here to the west of us, but it's really just a matter of you guys telling us, you know, we'd like to apply for this, and we'll look at it, and if we think it's a good project, then we say sure, but the things that make it not a good project, we have to be able to prove that your low to moderate income is above 51%. They've given us a website now that we have to use, and you guys are actually below that by a little bit, which means that we can get it up above 51%, but we have to do the surveying to do that. So for public infrastructure, we'd have to survey the whole community plus Bryant. Is that the only
satellite communities, Bryant?
So yeah, we'd have to survey here and Bryant to do any public infrastructure. But the way I understood it from my conversation with Amanda was you were more interested in a housing application this year. So we won't have to survey. I don't think we'll have to survey more than a neighborhood. If we're asking for them to fund 8 houses, 9 houses, 10 houses, whatever it is you're asking for, you have to have 3 times that in eligible surveys. So you have to have, if you're going to try to get 10 houses funded, you have to have 30 surveys of people that are low income that qualify. To qualify, it has to be owner-occupied. It can't be a mobile home. I think that might be the main requirements for that. And then we also write some other grants. I know we wrote one for you guys for a new city snowplow or something, water truck, here recently. And maybe can we do a backhoe too? Something like
no, that? We discussed it, but we didn't ever couldn't do it. Yeah, Evan just got his truck, so we got the money like that next week.
The thing with rural development is it just takes so long because you have to do a pre-application, then you have to be invited for a full application, then you have to do that meeting, then you have to have your lawyer. And I mean, it's worth it in the end if you get $50,000, but you can't get $50,000 anymore. That was during the disaster stuff. But $25,000, I think, is the max you can get under the normal circumstances. Now, if we have major flooding again or anything like that and they declare this county disaster area, then they might bump that up again and we could apply for $50,000 instead of just $25,000.
Yeah, but the grant went through pretty smooth, and then we just had to wait for a year and a half for the truck because of the COVID. But,
you know, in Vermont where I live, it took us over 2 years to get a cop car. The car was on back order, and then the radio equipment, and then the lights, and so now we have a brand new cop car, and we're just like, you guys can't find anyone that wants to be a police officer part-time, so.
There you go. Got a new car. Good job.
Brand new Ford Explorer, man.
And you guys, I mean, you're actively looking at grants. If you see something that might be a fit for us, you're going to be on the phone to Cindy or me or somebody.
When we see a new grant opportunity come out, if it's something infrastructure-related, we'll typically send it to you and your engineer. If it's something like rural development where they have that extra disaster money, we'll send that out to all the communities that qualify. So that was Fulton County. I think Hancock, Henderson, and Knox all qualified because they were along rivers. But yeah, we're always looking for new opportunities. DNR, sometimes people want to do like parks and playground equipment, stuff like that. We're always looking for money wherever we can find it. So we get a lot of requests for housing demolition grants, and for some reason we have not gotten those funded for smaller communities. Macomb and Galesburg, I think, are the only two. And then last year they wouldn't fund Macomb because they said they weren't. A lot of it's based on not evictions, but foreclosures. So if your local banks are foreclosing on a lot of homes, then you get more points towards that application. So we're trying to figure out a way around that, and maybe even looking at doing one countywide through the board, and then having them, you know, go to each community and say, okay, we have this much money, you can pick this many houses. Something
we'd
like
be
that.
Interested in that problem.
But yeah, we're always looking for opportunities like that, because those are the phone calls we get. We get a lot of phone calls about new fire departments, new police departments, community centers, and it's really hard to find money for buildings like that. So new city halls. As of right now, we still have not found a funding source for something like that, but you know, the government's always coming up with new ways to spend money, so hopefully one of these days we'll have that pool.
If you find anything to help the water department out, send it our way.
The public infrastructure stuff is typically what we do for water departments. Like I said, we did, I think we dug a new well out here, and there was a generator put in, and the wells were all lifted up because of the E. coli. Stuff like that's what we're pretty good at. That's our bread and butter. Yeah, I mean, we always discourage communities from applying for public infrastructure and housing in the same year. So if we applied for housing this year and it got funded, then we would
So it's actually went down this year because our population went down.
The main thing with public infrastructure, like I said, you have to have your health and safety, but also, or you have to have your low to moderate income, but you have to have some health and safety. So we have to have an engineer's report, pictures, complaint letters if we can get them. Yeah, they're expensive. I just did one for Abingdon. We just finished up earlier this year, and it was pretty cashy to do that. But DCEO stuff, I mean, it'll fund pretty much your water, your lines, your plant. If it's, you know, like I said, health and safety is what gets you your money. But sanitary sewer, storm sewer. If you have old lines, we always tell people issue a boil order, regardless of whether you fix it under pressure or not, because they'll look at your boil orders and they'll give you points for that. If you say, well, we fixed it under pressure, we didn't have to issue a boil order, then they don't look at it as being an emergency. So I know it's a pain for your residents, but I don't like where I live. We used to have them all the time, and most people just ignored them.
Yeah.
That's what, like, when you're thinking about grants, you got to think about worst case scenario. If you're having sewer problems, inflow and infiltration, getting pictures from the residents if it's in their basements, invoices from having to replace furnaces, hot water heaters, things like that. Like, you need your community to participate to get the points. And then you get the money. Storm sewers, if you can show flooding in people's basements, flooding over highways, they're really big on getting that kind of stuff fixed. So. Does anybody have any questions?
Just find a trainload of money.
So the housing, is that something, I mean, I haven't really formally been told by the council. I know Amanda said that that's the direction that you were talking about going.
So you have to pick, all of them have to be in the same section. Is that what you said?
You can do a community-wide, but the problem is with a community as large as yours, you've got to send out surveys to the whole community. And we're not even sure if they're going to allow that this year. The last couple of years they've allowed it. But we're hoping they continue that. But I mean, really just, like, do you want to spend the money on getting all these surveys sent out? And usually the return rate on surveys, mail-out surveys, is 25 to 30%. So then you got to get out and knock on doors. And it gets expensive unless you have someone in the community that's has time and wants to go out and volunteer and do it.
Mm-hmm.
What's this, like, what would this money be spent on for these houses? Roofs, windows, doors, what?
I just write the grants, but I can tell you what I know. We have a weatherization department, and the priority is always on, like, your foundation, your roof, your electrical and plumbing have to be up to code, and then they can start on the superficial things. I've seen them do new porches, siding, redoing people's kitchens. If you're older, sometimes that we have an extra pool of money we apply through from rural development that will help with, like, handicap accessible entryways and things like that.
There's a payback grant or payback money or just
no? It all goes to the homeowner. And it used to be we did a clawback agreement. You couldn't sell your house. You had to live there for 5 years, and it was like, it went down 20% every year. So if you sold it after the first year, you had to pay 100% or 80%, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Well, then DCO told us we couldn't do that anymore, where we were the only agency in the state that was doing it. And at the time, we thought it was a good idea, so people weren't taking advantage of it.
Because
you're getting $40,000, $45,000, I think, typically put into a house. So,
I guess my question, how do we know for sure they're going to do it? You know what I mean? I mean, do they get the money after it's done? When?
Well, we go through the whole process. This is a whole other department in our agency. Darren Taflinger, he's the one that runs it. And what they'll do is they'll set up interviews. And let's say we get money for 8 homes. They'll set up interviews. They'll find the ones that qualify the most. Typically, they put an emphasis on senior citizens and then your lower income, single moms, things like that. And then they bid those out to contractors. We have a list of contractors because you have to have lead licensing and all that stuff. And then they bid on them, and then we give them out to them, and then we pay them as they do the work.
Okay.
Yep. We order all the money through the state and pay the contractors directly. So. So if it's funded, we wrote two last year, Story and Macomb, and they both got funded. So there aren't a lot of agencies in the state that are really equipped to administer these grants, so we do a pretty good job of getting it funded. There's just so much. You have to have your contractors. That's the main thing. Right now, we're really short on contractors, too.
I was just curious whether it was going to cost us anything or weigh in putting money in the houses or pushing more for putting money towards the water towers and or the water tanks and that.
I mean, it's just the grant you can only use for a certain thing.
Yeah.
We can just, you know, I can investigate a little bit and talk to these guys and look at houses and,
sure,
you know, everybody just be aware of this. There's a grant out there to refurb houses, but, you know, if you got to narrow it down to a neighborhood, I don't know how you're ever going to do that. Yeah. And
it doesn't have to be like a like tight neighborhood, but how many households do you guys, like how many water customers do you have?
In 1107 homes.
So, I mean, you're looking at mailing 1,100 surveys at a couple bucks a piece, plus the $1,500 fee for writing. Like, it gets expensive when you have to survey that many homes. Once we have the ins and outs of the program this year, we'll know a little bit more about whether we can just go, if we think that the north half of town is the best section, we can go out and survey it and see what we get back and expand it. In the old days, you had to just pick like a neighborhood of 50 homes and focus on that.
get all the details.
All right.
So they've changed the rules on it a little bit.
Yeah, and I talked to Keith here a month or so ago about whether you guys wanted to apply for housing this year or wait till next year and apply for public infrastructure, because he wasn't sure if you guys were getting the money from Congresswoman Bustos, and there was some other money, maybe ARPA funds or something. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't really sure how you guys wanted to tackle that. So, but this year, I should also add this. This year, DCO is having a one-time, the maximum amount of grant money you can get for public infrastructure is $1.5 million. That's unheard of. It's typically, it used to be $400,000 when I started about 9 years ago. Now it's up to $550,000 a year. They just had some money from like 2015 or something that has to be spent, or it goes back to the federal government. So they're just trying to push it out there this year.
We can sure use that.
Yeah, we've had $400,000 ones, but it's been years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the water one out here was $450,000, but then they did that disaster recovery. It was a bunch of money. It was when Quinn was a governor, and he was trying to spend it on housing rehab, but all the people in the flood either, you had your house tore down if you were in the floodplain, or they bought you out, or you had insurance, private insurance, whatever, so it didn't get spent. So they rolled it into a disaster program similar to the public infrastructure. And that's how they had $600,000. That's how we got that additional. And it was mostly, I think, just you were borrowing it from the EPA, and it was just basically paying that $600,000 to the EPA to save you from having to borrow that much. Yeah, $1.5 million is kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
Right now we have everyone wants to submit applications this year because it's just hard to get that kind of money. So it's something you guys, I guess, can talk about and then get a hold of me and let me know which direction you want to go. Either way, it's fine. Jared and I, my coworker, we're world pros at public infrastructure grants, so that's kind of the direction we like to do. But the housing is also, you know, the housing grants that he and I write fund our housing department. So we try to submit those two every year.
Well, thanks for coming to the meeting.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I just need you guys to give me a motion out. Motion to pay the membership fee.
So moved.
Moved by John. Second by Brad. Roll call vote.
All for Sally Clark.
Aye.
Jim Long.
Aye.
Brad Ward.
Aye.
Kendall Miller.
Aye.
Kim Passel.
Aye.
John Spotlow.
Aye.
All right.
If you guys have any questions, feel free to email me or call me. Cindy's got my email and my number, so
thank you.
Thanks. All right. Moving on. Everybody's favorite topic, health insurance. We get to talk to insurance man.
I'm just called this because our insurance was going up again, and the deductible for the employees is $37.50. So I just thought I'd put it out to see if Crossroads is where we have it now. And Keith, right? Keith, yeah, is here. And I forgot your name.
Jason.
Jason, you know, he's going to be our rep for here in Lewiston now because Tina Henderson left. And then I have
Jamie
back there. I just went blank. And he's with the other company, and both of them had sent bids, and I put them in your packet so you can kind of look at the different amounts. I guess my goal was try to get the deductible down some to $1,500 or $2,000 or something, so I wanted the council to look at them and make a decision. I had them also give us some information on dental and vision, because they haven't had any for a long time. So, and then a couple employees was asking about short-term disability. That's a whole different plan, so that can be looked at later if you want. So I don't know who wants to speak first. Keith, you can if you want to.
Okay, I'm going to share one of those. As Cindy said, I'm Keith Crowey. I'm the owner of Crossroads Insurance Services. We're located in Table Grove and have an office here in Lewiston. And most of you knew Tina Henderson, the man of that office, and she took a job with the state of Illinois. And so Jason Steele is going to be the new agent over here and taking care of everybody here in Lewiston. I work with, in regards to the health insurance, did everybody get one of those? So did I have enough?
Yep.
I work with McDonough County, Henderson County, Hancock County, have the City of Salem. I work with several municipalities on personally self-funded health plans, and then I have several small group plans with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I have a contract with Health Alliance. I don't use them at this point in time. Most of my small group stuff that's fully insured is with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Currently, as you can see, let me get my eyeballs here. What I just passed out is what your current plan is. It's the Gold G530 PPO Gold Plan. And what that is gives your employees the old Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO network. So that's the old one that, you know, you can really go anywhere in the country, not an issue, anything like that. And that PPO does cost. It doesn't have the discounts that the Blue Choice Preferred plan does have. So your current premium, based on your current census, the current premium was going was $6,219.67. With that same plan, it was renewing at $6,809.39 with the current individuals that were covered on the plan. So in looking at the renewal and with the new ACA, it doesn't matter. Blue Cross is Blue Cross. Is Blue Cross their age rated under 20 lives? It's age banded, age rated, and your rates are the rates that are given under the ACA. We stayed with the Gold plan, and what I saw in the rate structure to save the employees a little bit of money and move to a better deductible was move to what Blue Cross calls their Blue Choice Preferred PPO network, which they've negotiated with providers and have, that provides a better discount to Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and therefore the premium is quite a bit less for your employees. As you can see, you could go to a $1,500 deductible from a $3,750 for in-network. Out-of-network is a $3,000 deductible. The primary care doctor's office visits are a little bit higher there. The difference is the coinsurance
Whereas with the current plan, you had 100, your employees had 100%. After the deductible, there was 100%. They didn't pay anything more, and their max out of pocket was $3,750. With the new plan, after the deductible of $1,500, there would be a split of 20% for the employee. For Blue Cross and Blue Shield would pay 80%. In network, their maximum out of pocket would be $5,500. So instead of $3,750, their max out of pocket is going to be $5,500. But if they go out of network, out of the Blue Choice preferred network, it is unlimited. So there is no maximum out of pocket. We do that on some of our self-funded plans, and what they're doing there is providing steerage to push people in network, so they use a doctor or a provider that offers Blue Cross a discount. So the specialist office is a copay of $60, and there you can see the difference in the non-preferred pharmacy copays. Same type of benefit on the next plan. It's just a $2,500 deductible, 80-50 co-insurance, but there's unlimited amount on the out-of-network, and then the drug card copays are equal to the drug card copays that they have currently on that plan. But the deductible would be $1,250 less. The Blue Choice preferred network has came a long way. When it rolled out back in 2000, and when the ACA Act took effect, or everybody knows it as Obamacare, in 14, Blue Cross Blue Shield on individual plans, the first year, they went with the regular large PPO with their individual plans. The second year, they lost so much money that year that the second year they moved to create the Blue Cross Preferred Choice, the Blue Choice Preferred PPO, and it was really rough those first couple years to get coverage, especially like Madonna District wasn't in that network. There were a lot of hospitals and doctors that were not in that network for, so we were limited around our area, around this area, to Right Health Alliance only at that point in time. That's came a long way. It has a lot of good coverage. All the Graham facilities are in it. Peoria, OSF, Unity Point, everything in Peoria area. I talked to Cindy about where your employees go, and she was pretty sure most of them go that direction. Blue Cross and Blue Shield still has the issue with Springfield Clinic, as everybody probably heard last year, where Springfield Clinic pulled out of that network. That's a major issue. Some pretty bad blood there, so I don't know, with lawsuits flying around, so I don't know if that's ever going to get fixed until some people in higher up places change there. So with that being said, either one of those plans is a decrease to the employee. I think Cindy said she would sooner have, this is just a composite rate made up for your employees. She would like it to be the age-banded rate that they have, so the younger people do pay a little bit less, and I think you guys pay 70% mm-hmm. of that premium, so, and that can remain the same. Let me see. So then, with that being said, then, I've got a quote on the back with the benefits. So as you can see, the difference from $6,809 down to $5,521 for the $1,500 deductible, and down to $2,500 for the $2,500 deductible, down to $5,507 for a premium. So then I went to Delta Dental, is who I did the vision, the dental and vision through. The vision network is a little sketchy. That is something you don't offer the employees right now. So, but I know Dr. Steinauer here in Lewiston is in the network for the dental with Delta Dental. That's their top plan. And the 2-4 or 5-19 just depends. It kind of depends on eligibility and who is enrolled. It kind of lets us put who, how many are eligible there. As you can see, the difference in the premium depending on what tier there is. So if that's something that you guys would like to offer the employees, it's $30.16. If you had 2 to 4 eligible, 5 to 19 is $25.15, and for a family of $80.91. Vision, $6.12 for single and $15.30 for family if you wanted to offer that. That does not have as good of an out-of-network benefit, and it doesn't have as good of a network down in this area. There are some in Canton, a couple in Canton. I don't know, there's not an eye doctor in Lewiston, is there? So, and there's coverage there. So
is that 2 to 4 or 5 to 19? Does that include the like spouses and kids?
No,
or just
employees.
Okay.
Yep.
So right now we've only got 4.
Well,
so it's
eligible.
Like, does it go down?
It's not people on the health insurance, it's eligible employees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I mean you, everybody.
Anybody, okay.
On there. And you have to have 50% to be, you have to have 50% of eligible take it to be, have the plan.
Okay.
So if you were wanting to do that, there's a couple ways to do that. Make sure you have 50%. Pay 100% of single premium.
Mm-hmm.
The village, the city for dental, can pay 100% of single premium. You know you're going to get it. That premium there would be deducted off the family premium. If they want family, they would pay the extra. They would pay the difference at that point in time. So there's different ways to do that to make sure that you have a plan in force.
And that could be determined later, if they want to, the dental and vision.
Yeah, we can do that at any time. That's not, the health is important. I know this should have been done the end of last month with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. They want the BPA, or BPS, BPA. They want the form turned in if we're changing the plan. If you don't change the plan, leave it at the 6802. You don't have to do anything. But to change the plan, they want that 30 days out. And with the mix with loss of employees and things like that, we got a couple weeks. We sent them an email. Did get an exception that they will take it if we do it. Get it sent in by end of the day tomorrow. So we have to, we've got an appointment. We're going to be out of town come, noon. So we can get it sent in the morning. Depending on the decision made here,
mm-hmm.
And then it'll be taken care of and get it switched.
That's kind of my fault. I never even thought about it till last week that we. I guess I didn't realize.
We should have been on the ball too.
Yeah.
I
think with Tina leaving and stuff,
it
was kind of hectic.
So, but either one of those. I mean, the drug card copay kind of stretches that $1,500, but if the employees would like a $1,500 deductible, I mean, I have the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, a little bit higher deductible, but I use the Blue Choice Preferred PPO network is what I have for myself and my employees. So any questions on my presentation? And like Cindy sent me something on the short-term disability. That's something too that we can look at and look at a couple different carriers if you decide to go down this route. So.
Okay.
Questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for seeing me. I know you're tired of talking about insurance already, and I was Cindy, I just want to clarify. I had 4 employees down for you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point there was 5, and not too long ago there became 4.
Yes.
So my numbers are a little bit different than what he reported, and mine are based on that 4. So my name is Jamie Hopkins. I'm from Burlington, Iowa. The name of our little firm is Sagacity Benefits. I'm going to focus on 3 areas, and the 3 things that I'm always trying to improve working with the municipality is savings if we can find it, and that means savings to the city as well as savings to the employees and deductible, less out-of-pocket cost for the employee. The second thing I focus on is communication. And the third is advocacy. And when it comes to communication, I met Cindy about a year ago. We were doing some work with Fulton County, so I introduced myself. And so I've been looking at this stuff off and on for a year. But your renewal has been out for 60 or 75 days by now, And so if I'm invited to work with the city, I promise you I'll be ringing your phone. Hey, you know, when can I come over and show you what they're talking about? And the reason that we try to get to it early, especially when it comes to the city, because Doug said it, nothing moves fast with government. So I'm always trying to get 60 days, 75 days in front of you if I can, because this year you guys are looking at a 13.5% increase. Well, I want to leave time for you guys to be able to change carriers if that's in the best interest of the city and the employees. So that's the purpose of me trying to get to this a little bit earlier. And then I guess in the way of communication, yes, your deductible on the plan that your employees have today used to be $32.50, and it was raised to $37.50 in 2020. So you guys have been through at least one renewal cycle where that deductible had been $37.50, and the first year that changed, I would have really focused on that as the year to try to make an evasive maneuver since they were changing that deductible. Deductible to the employee, if I'm putting myself in a place of an employee, I want the lowest deductible possible, and $32.50, $37.50, whatever your deductible is on the plan now, that's higher than most municipalities. So then the next thing I always think of is recruiting, and I know this isn't 100% of the reason that you can't get a police officer on the street here in Lewiston, but recruiting, you know, the lower deductible, the richer the plan design that you have to offer the employees, the more likely you're going to get somebody to stick and stay or move over to work in the community. So in terms of neighbors that we work with, Knox County, City of Canton, no, not City of Canton, City of Carthage, as well as, you know, Kewaunee. So we actually, two things. We only do benefits, so we don't do property casualty. We don't really do workers' comp or any of those type of things. All we do is employee benefits for groups. And a large percentage of our groups are public groups, cities, counties, and schools. So I understand what's in place, and I understand what your goals sort of are as a city council. And frankly, you pay more than the average Main Street employee. You pay more of the premium as city council. And so that's an important element, because we're not just saving money for employees, we're saving money for the city. And when gas is $5.50, every little bit helps. So with that, if I can have everybody focus on just this first page. And even though there's a lot of numbers on there, I'm going to try to point to the ones that are most important. On the left-hand side, you see the spine, you know, deductible, the out-of-pocket, the physician's copays, and then below that, the prescription medication copays. And then the plan that is white is your current plan. And you see up at the top there, it's got that $37.50 deductible. So if we follow that to the right on that top line, the next two plans that I show that have lots of yellow on them, those are just the same network that you have now, which is the nationwide Blue Cross PPO. You can go to any state in the union and, you know, have a hard time not finding a Blue Cross Blue Shield provider in that state. So for these plans, you have a high deductible, or you have a high deductible at $37.50, but the out-of-pocket max also being at $37.50, which is, you know, just two lines below that. That is a major reason that your plans cost what they cost. $37.50 is really low for an out-of-pocket max. So if you follow that to the right, the first plan you see has a $1,000 deductible and a $67.50 out-of-pocket max. Well, what's most important to the employee? Saving first dollar cost, having to climb all the way up to $37.50, or being able to split 80-20 after you hit that $1,000. So I like both of these plans because they're lower deductible to the employee, and just as my predecessor says, that's very important. And now, just to give you kind of an idea, let's slide all the way down to the price at the bottom. And it says total month's premium. What I have is $56.95 for your current plan, renewing to $64.63. Everybody there? Well, these plans are similarly priced, because even though the deductible is lower, the out-of-pocket max is higher. So this plan, $63.75, has got a $1,000 deductible. That's very promising. So that's just a little less than the increase that you're looking at for this year. So for almost the same money, you could get offer a plan that has a $1,000 deductible. That shows very well for a potential employee. The next one has a $2,000 deductible, but the copays are a little lower in the middle. And again, it's around the same price. So that is for the same network that you have today. Now go to the plan all the way on the far right, and that's the Blue Choice Preferred Network that he spoke about. That network offers the most amount of savings, and if you go to the bottom, you know, that would be, 8% lower than the cost you're currently paying. And I like that savings, except the Blue Choice Preferred Network doesn't have Mayo in it, and it doesn't really perform well outside of the state of Illinois, so it's primarily an Illinois network. And if all of your employees all the time were going to doctor in Illinois, I think that would be a terrific choice. But if somebody wanted to go to Mayo and they had your health insurance plan, I think they would want that to be part of the package.
And like I said, you know, if somebody goes on vacation, you didn't think they'd be covered either.
I mean, so emergency services would be covered on this network. But a lot of times what happens with that is you're asked to stay an overnight in some out-of-state, you know, hospital after ER, and, you know, that would be an expensive trip. So the two plans that are sort of in the middle are the Blue Options tiered network. And what these plans basically mean is that when you doctor in Illinois, you get a really low deductible like you see there, $1,500 for one and $2,000 for the other. Now, there is coverage available outside of Illinois, and Mayo is included in this coverage at a higher deductible. So you still have available coverage outside of Illinois at a slightly higher cost. But the truth is, the chance that even one of your four employees are going to have something major happen outside of Illinois is very low. So what I'm trying to do is give some coverage outside of Illinois without spending too much of premium dollars. Right now you're spending premium dollars on a high deductible plan. You're buying that national network. So if you narrow it in to get the Illinois-only network savings, some benefits outside of Illinois at a higher deductible, that seems like it's putting the risk areas where they should be. Low deductible, most important. If something major happens, do you have it? You know, network coverage? Yes. And those two plans in the middle do. And I even highlighted the numbers for the 508 OPT Gold 1500 plan, be the third plan alternative that I offered. $1,500 deductible, $5,250 for an out-of-pocket max. The coinsurance rate is 10%, so even though your out-of-pocket max is higher, you're only paying 10%, which is more favorable. So if you bring all that down to the bottom, this saves 5% off of what you're paying today. And that's why it was kind of my preferred choice. It offers lower deductibles, it offers coverage at Mayo, and it offers savings to the city and to the employees at the bottom line. That's a lot of talking and a lot of asking you to look at numbers. So, you following along? Anybody have any questions so far? Yeah, so I highlighted the one that I thought was the best choice, but the one just to the right of it I think is equally good. When you're looking at the copays for the ordinary doctor visits, sort of up into the middle, they're very similar. So in the physician's office copay, right now yours is $35. For employees to seek care in Illinois, it'd be $30. But if you're outside of Illinois and you go to an ordinary office visit, it's $55. It's not very likely to happen, but that's still a reasonable copay for out of what you would consider out of the prime network in the second tier of network coverage. And now I feel like I'm in danger of over-talking, so... the next page is really just kind of by the way, I showed Cindy four different carriers and about 12 or 14 total plans across those carriers. So standard practice for us is, you know, 60 to 75 days outside of renewal, I'm going to bring you whatever United Healthcare says they'll sell to you this year, and we'll see how the price compares. And, you know, right now with just the four employees, those are your two best options. There are some others. I don't think they perform as well as Blue Cross. It's sort of a gold standard. United Healthcare, you know, right up there as well. But I think these are good plans. I think you're on the right carrier. So my first bullet point was Blue Cross showed the most promise. Current plan deductible is significantly higher than many other towns your size. The PPO, in-network coverage in every state, however most employees receive care in Illinois. The Blue Choice Preferred Network, good low pricing, lower deductibles, but it's Illinois only, and that would exclude Mayo in most cases. Then the Blue Options Network at the bottom, nationwide coverage with the tiered benefit levels outside of Illinois. We can offer a lower deductible and lower copays for care in Illinois, and even a lower deductible for care outside of Illinois. one of those, even if you had to go to Mayo, you'd be paying less than that $37.50 that the employees are paying today. The next page is Delta, and I have the same feelings about that as he did. Limited vision coverage around here. I always think vision is a little for a little. If you're somebody that gets frames every 2 years, then a vision plan makes sense, but many people aren't that. And so I would be concerned about the in-network providers for Delta Vision. However, Delta Dental, I maybe just picked a little bit different plan than he did, and you can see that pricing for the employee and for the employee spouse, for the employee plus dependent, and then for the family status. You can kind of see the benefit thresholds there. And really, that's about it. Love to take any questions if you have them. All right, well, I'll have a seat.
I can ask real quick, I guess, your premium differences, because I have four people, too. I have four individuals, too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The renewal came in, I mean, the renewal from Blue Cross came to me with four individuals.
Huh.
And the pricing that you guys have there is with that.
Jamie, I thought I told you four.
Yeah, and that's what I have.
Yeah.
But your pricing is a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
A little bit lower.
So
what you showing as a renewal?
63.
And it's 68. Because here's what came in from Blue Cross. And this is right off the number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 6809.
Okay, interesting. But I had a lower current than you did. I had 59.
Right, yeah, you would add, so percentage-wise, it's off altogether. Yours is off altogether compared to, I mean, this came right out of my system, my Blue Cross system, so.
Okay.
As the renewal, so it downloaded to their link, so that's why, yeah, I don't know where in those, unless there's not an employee spouse on there or something.
No, I got one of each category, one of each area.
Okay.
One single one, one
okay.
Single one.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any questions for these guys?
Employee question.
I mean, have you heard any of the guys say anything specific?
I haven't heard any of the guys talk about it.
Okay. Lots of soaking. Yeah. I just thought maybe we'd ask the employee what they thought. They're the one
getting. Evan's the one with the most on it.
Yeah.
But his isn't as high as like Johnny and
when
Donna.
Do we have to decide
theirs is
this?
A lot higher.
Yeah.
When do we have to decide this?
They were kind of, I mean, Crossroads is kind of needing it by tomorrow. But
oh, okay. I thought that was just for that.
I mean, Blue Cross is after you. They
we need
it tonight.
Yeah.
We need a decision tonight.
So. All right. May I have any ideas?
I mean, you guys want to keep it the same? Keep it the same if you want to lower it for them?
Well, we all want to lower it, but.
I mean, if these guys are quoting the same insurance, just give them different prices. I can't figure that out. Why?
I don't know why his price, because like I said, I mean, with you being with us, I mean, I went into the network to download, the renewal comes into and is downloaded into your link on our system, Blue Cross, you know, for employers, producers, employers, and they come right in there, and that's where I clicked this and printed it right off of there. I mean, I didn't go to Blue Cross with nothing.
Does that have something maybe because he's from Iowa and you're from Illinois? Does that matter?
It's both with Illinois Blue Cross, Illinois plans, so I don't know why that is.
One thing that you could hold though is the percentage change. You know, if there's a savings percentage, that savings percentage is roughly going to be the same, even if the exact number that we're showing isn't exactly the same.
Right, this is depending on which plan you have, but it's not right for them to think that your $400 less on the renewal is a percentage of change, correct? If you're saying that. Going from the Blue Choice going from the Blue Choice or the Blue PPO that they have now to the Blue Choice Preferred, your percentage of change is the same as my percentage of change, but you're showing a lower net premium, so it looks like yours is only, yours is $400 less.
It's not really, I mean, when right. I figured.
I mean, could it be because they think he's getting a new customer?
Not really.
Could that be it? I mean, they think he's getting a new customer, just servicing an old customer.
They would have looked it up and knew that he was in.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know.
And there's not really a lot of difference. I mean, I wrote down like his and theirs. It's only like $100.
That's what I think. I don't like change. I mean, that's what I've been thinking the whole time.
Yeah, any plan here that can be done, any plan that was presented, I mean, we can make that change and do any plan. So, what do you have?
But when I compared them, they were pretty close.
Of course, I had bird base.
Oh,
I do.
You know, like $100.
The OPT would be a better plan, especially if you're.
When's this renewable again? If we chose the plan tonight, and when's the renewable again? In a year or is that coming in
7-1? Once a year. Yeah, July 1st.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it'd be kind of nice to talk about this stuff prior to having to do something.
I know. As I said, we should have a meeting earlier.
It happens. I mean, you could do an off-year plan change, you know, where you renew as it is and then look at this in a month down the road or 2 months, do an off-year plan change. And
but normally it's in July.
It's July. 7-1 is the effective date. Okay. And, you know.
I mean, the employees aren't having any problems now, right? Nobody's complaining about anything.
Just Ben.
So.
Ben's the only one.
I just had birthdays.
Yeah.
I mean, could that have made a difference because he had birthdays?
Well, birthdays might make a slight difference. I guess I'm saying.
Rated.
But not really. I mean, we just have a couple of slightly different prices.
I don't think we're in a position to make a decision tonight, personally.
No, I don't either. That's why I think that we should just keep it the same and address it next year.
I mean, if we keep it the same, we're paying a higher premium.
But that's what he was just saying. How?
But you can move to one of the other plans. And
oh, no, I don't mean keep it the same. I mean, we're going to have to move to another plan.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. I mean, I just don't.
It seems to me like the conversation is, do you want to move to the lower network that he's offering, or do you like the suggestion of having Mayo in the network that I suggest? You know.
Right.
And like I say, I presented those two. I mean, any of those plans. I mean, Cindy has all of those that we. Yeah.
On this Blue Choice Preferred PPO, Keith, that's not just Illinois, right?
It's not just Illinois. I mean, Barnes in St. Louis, a lot of those providers in it. Barnes is in there. I mean, it does go outside of Illinois. There are some providers in Iowa City that are in that network also. Mm-hmm. So, it's not just Illinois, but it is restricted. It is Mayo's is it, and it is restricted outside of Illinois more than what the big PPO is, or the other that he was talking that has Mayo's in it.
What do you think, employee?
A lot of numbers.
Would you rather have a plan with Mayo's in it?
I mean, I'd rather have, you know, every employee, you know, I don't want to be the one to make a decision that affects them.
And that's what I guess I was saying, because Cindy has all those plans, and if you would decide to go, you know, with Crossroads, we could renew with any one of those plans.
Right.
Wait.
I mean, if you guys want a table and do a middle of the year?
A mid-year. Or mid-year.
Mid-year change.
Yeah.
You can renew it and then change next month if you wanted to.
Right.
Not the favorite thing, but they will take it.
Yeah.
I mean, we really need more time to...
Yeah. Sorry for this.
The only thing is that premium's $1,300 more than
those
other.
Right.
We can switch to one of these others.
Right.
Right. And I, when
I mean, that's my only concern is it's $1,300, but it's not only, like, it's our money, but it's the employee's money when they copay also. Yeah.
Right.
And
right. Because they're going to pay more. If we pick this other one, they're going to pay more. And I,
correct.
Nobody's been complaining. So, I mean, when I say stay the same, I just meant,
okay,
you know what I mean.
Now I
did. I don't, I agree
zero,
with you.
A 0% copay is just about,
right.
about non-existent anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
you gotta do that.
I mean, to, for them, they, I mean, the 10% of that OPT network, I mean, that was the 5 of 8 OPT instead of one of the other ones. But
I think
it's, I mean, it's got a lot of comparable numbers other than, you know,
I think it's 10%. Something to go back.
Yeah, between that one and this and the renewal with this 532 BCE is about 100.
You know, and our portion, the city, you know, the city pays 70%. I mean, a few months ago, we were paying, the premium was over $12,000 because we had, like, 8 people on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I just got off of it, so I'm saving the city $1,000 a month, just me. So that made it drop a lot, and then no police officers on it. So, you know, we... It went down half what it was about 4 months ago. So it just, it varies as employees come and go. I mean, the amount varies. So I was just kind of looking to trying to get, you know, the employees something better. But if you go down deductible, then the maximum goes up. So
yeah,
but it's not that much though. I mean, if you're this one, it's $5,250. I mean, you're not one of that much for dropping, what, $2,250 on deductible?
Mm-hmm. They say only about 15% of your group ever hits their out-of-pocket max.
Yeah, so that, and that's what I was looking at, because
that they feel.
We've had one employee have surgery.
Physician office is a little cheaper.
So, you know, he's the only one that you know, went over his $3,750.
I think at this point it ought to go back, let the employees look at it and make a choice on it, kind of in there.
Let them be.
Let them make
a decision. I agree, but I don't think we ought to redo the current plans.
No.
In the caucus for a bunch of money.
No.
No.
No. That's right. I mean, your employees are.
We need employee input before we go make a decision on it.
Sure.
I mean, if it is,
that's why he's asking the employee, but he don't say no.
But we're going to save money. It's a great paper.
Right. I mean, that's the thing.
They're not going to say, hey, I don't want to save money.
Sometimes save money is not the whole key.
Well, I mean.
But they're going to save too, is what Brad's saying.
What saying.
Yeah.
If they're going to save money,
out their portion with $6,800.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30% of that's theirs. So.
Yeah. They're going to save money by going to one of these smaller plans.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't like the coverage, I don't see how.
I mean, there's a lot of good coverage in Illinois now too, without having Mayo's in there too. With that, you know, with that, I mean, that Mayo's is a nice option. But there's a lot of good. I mean, OSF and, like I say, Barnes Jewish. I mean, down that way. I mean, they.
Have you ever had an employee go to Mayo?
I mean,
not way. That I know.
We've been doing it, so never had any requests for a big PPO.
Yeah.
Get some input. I know he wants it tonight, but I don't
want to
make decisions for somebody else.
Oh, we make decisions for
them
all the time.
No, right. I mean, that's. I mean, right. Right.
That's just it. I mean, this is spending their money. Right?
Well, it's their money and the people's money.
People's money.
It's their out-of-pocket that I mean, yeah. If I was an employee, a young employee like that, you save me out-of-pocket money, like monthly or, you know, less money, I would, yes.
Yeah, that's the way I always.
And if you can slow, you know, lower my deductible to where if I do use it, I don't feel like I...
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you got kids or something like that.
Because it's hard to reach that $3,750.
Yeah.
Unless you, then the hospital accident or something. I mean, you don't reach
I'll
that.
I'll make a motion
so
to go with Crossroads G532 BCE. Which one? That's the renewal with the 5 Crossroads on the
which
right.
532 BCE.
which would be a $1,500 deductible.
Yeah.
It's at $5,500 a month, $5,521.98 a month.
532 BC, 5521.
Got it.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We get a roll call vote, please. Anyone want to discuss? I guess we already had roll call.
Sally Clark?
Aye.
Jim Long?
Aye.
Brad Board?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Tim Paschal? John Spotlow?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much, yes. Gentlemen. Appreciate your input. You guys are the salesmen. Keep trying to sell. If you get us the best deal, we'll talk to you.
See you later. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Have no other new business.
Thanks, Jamie, for coming.
Everyone look at the bills. Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Everyone have a chance to look at the bills? Any questions on the bills? If not, have a motion to pay the bills. Approve. Do we have a motion?
Okay.
Motion by John. Second by Sally. Roll call vote, please.
Second. Get my typing done here. Sally Clark?
Aye.
Jim Long?
Aye.
Brad Board?
Aye.
Kendall Miller?
Aye.
Tim Paschal?
Aye.
John Spotlow?
Aye.
All right. Right, it is apples to apples, and that's what you always have to worry about in insurance. I don't know how many times I've heard that stuff.
And that's what Keith said, he could write
Okay, no other business?
We might want to have our insurance agent jack him up a little bit. Let's think.
Well, I think that he already said it won't happen again.
Yeah. I think because Tina left and she wasn't on it. And
yeah.
She was right.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's understandable.
He's changing other guards. So that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Nobody's fault this happened.
Come down to that office and she was handling it.
All right, everyone want to sit here or somebody want to make a motion? There you go.
Like, okay, can we go?
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.